How about now? Do we have to do all that again?
I think we do. And it was genius, too.
I know, it was. Oh. Well, see, we've practiced now, so it'll be good this time.
No, it won't.
Okay, do I start again?
Yep, let's go. Because we do have to do it all again.
All right. Well, it was only 8:03. We've only wasted 3 minutes of our lives. Okay, here we go.
Bombs and bands. Bombs and bands.
All systems go.
Bombs and bands.
Defiance.
Bombs and bands.
Bands. This rebel has a cause.
Bombs and bands.
We begin as wanderers, and we are wanderers still.
Welcome to the 22nd live edition, part two of Bombs and Bands and Wednesday Rants. As always,
it's rehearsed this time.
No, it's not. I am your dedicated and humble host, John Wilder, coming to you from an undisclosed location hidden deep beneath the surface of the earth. With me, as always, is Mark.
Howdy.
And the missus.
I promise, as God is my witness, someday I will get the technical stuff right.
You thought turkeys could fly.
That's
Thanksgiving.
I did.
Gotta say that there for. All right. Well, the missus and Mark, we've been doing the show for a year, and this is just—I'm going to call this the deja vu episode. Doing
seems
this
like
show
twice
for
that
year,
long.
and we've been doing the live parts for half a year. What have we learned, Mark?
Well, well, crud. Now I forgot what I said before. I do remember. I actually like doing the live versions because it seems like less pressure. I wasn't really like well scripted before, and so now I can just come in totally unscripted. I do try to prepare, but today was one of those days, and I spaced off. Couldn't even remember what the topic was.
Yes, indeed. And I'll remind everyone what the topic is for tonight. It's actually twofold. Well, the first we talked about last week, which has been, 7 days ago. So and there's been Christmas and et cetera. But were predictions about 2022. And that's pretty scary because is it 2022 or 2020 part two, the revisioning? I just hope it's not 2020. So, the missus, what do you think we learned about the live bits versus the beautiful crafted studio show that you would spend, like 20 hours creating?
They both have their positives, right? I enjoyed the first version that we were doing of it because I like the way it looked. This is a little less focused on the looks. It's a little more on the audio part of it. And you know me, because my background is in radio, and so I really like this part because this is what I've always liked about radio, and so I do like doing this. I like going without a net. It's dangerous.
And you love wet mouth sounds, don't you?
I do. there's a whole bunch of people on the internet who really are into that. I'm not kidding. There are videos.
Yeah, it's not.
I know. All sorts of pervs out there. I know.
You've gone too far.
I know. No, hey, actually, where I heard about that, on NPR. They did a whole segment on it.
Oh, the ASMR?
Does it have a name?
Well, it's not... ASMR is not just mouth noises. It could be anything. People brushing their hair, getting a haircut, or just talking softly, or whatever.
People find it very soothing.
Yes. I'm scared. I'm frightened. Why?
Well,
I read about it.
I think I read about it on NPR also, but.
Oh, I'm just sitting here shuddering.
What? Because we read something on NPR, or
no, there are people like that. I'll try not to judge. No, too late.
You make it sound like it's dirty or something. These are just relaxation videos.
Yeah, no. No, I'm sorry. I consider myself an interesting person, but in things like this, where it comes to things like these fetishes and these, yeah, nope.
Well, I mean, nope. Yeah, there's probably a spectrum on them, but you know, I mean, at least what I've seen, they're really more like some of these videos that are like 8 hours of, you know, raining, falling, or
well, that's a scream
or gurgling or something.
That's okay. See,
the things I but like are acceptable.
It's just people like hearing a human voice.
Well, then they should be listening to our channel. Just put it on a loop and off we go. Okay, so we, in addition to predictions about 2022 and the sounds of mouth noises, okay, now you found my kryptonite.
Wow.
Seriously, I got a shudder up my spine by that. Blah. The missus has helpfully put together what she felt were the best of clips for the year, as well as she picked two commercials out of the probably, what do you say, 30 or 40 that we did last year.
Well, now bear in mind that my choices were the stuff that were already on YouTube. Remember, because I have that massive failure of my hard drive, which resulted in me losing most of the pre-recorded stuff that we did this all of last year, which is why we now have a new intro.
Yes. Yeah, that's a little, yep. So tell you what, let's start off with clip number one about the squirrels.
Oh, okay. You want to talk about that? All right, here we go.
I have information that the zombie apocalypse is certainly upon us. The article I have is from the New York Post. Savage squirrel terrorizes Queens community with cage match attacks. Apparently there is a squirrel on the prowl in New York City. We have a lot of squirrels around here, but the thing I've noticed is none of them attack us.
I actually had a squirrel fall out of a tree onto my head one time.
Well, okay, you got to tell us that story.
Well, there's not a lot to it. I was just walking along. This was when I was in college, and I was walking along the sidewalk going to class, and I hear some rustling in the tree above me, look up, and poof, right onto me was a squirrel.
Did it kill you?
What do you think?
Oh,
I'm going to leave it in suspense.
Did it attack you?
No, it ran quickly away.
Which is what I normally am used to with squirrels, right? Because unless they have some sort of plague, if they have bubonic plague, sometimes they get very, very aggressive.
Well, they can be rabid too, though.
Right.
I've got I was accosted in college by a squirrel one time. I was walking between classes, and the squirrel literally jumped on my foot and started tugging on my pants leg to try to convince me to give him some food.
I think that might have been the motivation that was behind the squirrel that landed on me, too. Because there was a guy that sat in the quad on my campus, and I would go to class. I had an early class, and when I would walk across campus about 7:30 in the morning, I would always see this guy feeding squirrels. And one day I'm walking by, and he's laid the squirrel food on the ground, and he looks up at me as I walk by, and we can make eye contact, and he says, "I have to do that because that one bites."
Wow. So I have a question. Were these large squirrels or small squirrels that your incidents... Wait, stop. Don't answer. I don't want to be accused of criticizing.
Oh, the squirrels.
Sharing our stories of squirrel molestation.
And so I'm going to get meta for just a second here. In the description for tonight's show, you have us written as predictions for 2022.
Well, I was doing that very quickly, so yeah, I can see what it was.
Well, you had time for like O's and
no!
predictions. Okay. Well, Mark, would it be fair to put you on the spot and ask what your first prediction is for 2022?
Sure, that's fine. You just want one from me for right now, right?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, let's see. There's so much to do. Here's my prediction. I'm going to go a little sciencey on this. As you know, the James Webb Telescope launched on Christmas Day and is currently on its million mile voyage to the Lagrange Point second Lagrange point between the Earth and the and the Sun.
Hang on, Mark. How, 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 how.
Yeah! Science!
Anyway, in 6 months, it's supposed to start transmitting images, and it's going to be, it's 10 times as sensitive as the Hubble telescope. So my prediction is that we are going to see, start seeing some of the cherished theories in astronomy and cosmology totally overthrown.
Excellent. What do you think what do you think is on the chopping block there? I love this prediction. What do you think is out there?
I think the first thing that's going to be on the chopping block is dark matter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's already happening. I mean, they're all of every single attempt to detect dark matter's failed. So, I mean, it's, and what they're instead finding a lot of dust and plasma and everything. I think though that with this larger, more powerful telescope, they're just going to be able to see it. And it's going to become obvious that that dark matter theory is completely bogus.
I like that one. I like that. So you think that the telescope will give us that information, even though it was, they tried to cancel the name of the telescope because of, they didn't like the what the creator did and not being having 2020.
You know, it was named after a white guy. They would have.
Yes. Well,
they would have screamed no matter what white guy had been named after. So I don't care about that.
Okay.
But I do care about the fact that, you know, I think that this is going to open a whole new vistas in astronomy and cosmology.
Excellent. Let's hope it works. The missus, you have any commentary on that one?
No, you know, just I agree with Mark on the dark matter thing. This is something you were reading me the other day where someone said that dark matter was the modern day ether.
That was me quoting me.
Oh, was it you quoting you? Well, yeah, shows how much me. I pay attention to you.
Oh my God, it's making noise again. Again. Yes, that's me. So, okay. You know,
oh my
I,
God! Who the hell cares?
Sorry, yeah. I just thought that. Yeah.
All right. So I'm thinking now is a fine time for clip number two. Bob.
Okay. I was gonna say you have to give me the name of it because I can't go just off numbers. I have them in different order. Okay, here we go.
I will kick things off, and I will talk about an article about Get Home Bags from CommonSenseHome.com.
Aren't they bug-out bags?
No, they're not bug-out bags.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Because I've heard them called bug-out bags.
Okay. So, in the article, which is your favorite thing, it's a list. You love lists.
I do. I love lists so much.
It's a 17.
That's why I read every bit of this article.
It's a 17-page list.
And it's why I'm fixated on the bug-out bags. Okay. Or Bob, as you called them. As it lists in the article. That's the one part that I did read. And it just, I think that's bad name.
They're also...
Because I had this friend who once told me that she had a female friend who told me that she had a personal device that she referred to as Bob. Because it stands for battery-operated boyfriend.
They're also called get-out-of-dodge bags.
Bob is much better.
A 72-hour bag, a grab bag.
That can be dirty, too. I can make anything dirty.
A battle box. Well, let's not go there either. Oh, my God. A personal emergency relocation kit. Okay, let's just stick with get-home bag.
You're six. You're just six. What's your prediction, 6-year-old? What's your number one?
My prediction, number one, I think we see the first vaccine related lawsuits.
So this is an interesting question because the only real path I see for vaccine lawsuits, I'm not a lawyer and I didn't stay in a Holiday Inn Express, yada yada, is the idea that perhaps there was fraud in the creation of the vaccines.
Oh, honey, fraud... this is America. You can sue anybody for anything.
Well, yes, yes, you can, but, you know, the only winning path.
Except the drug companies, whom you can't sue at all for this.
Well, again, when you look at it, if they have fraud, that could very well undermine most of their immunities. I mean, it's not like they've helped anybody else with immunities. Oh, wait.
Maybe they'll make something.
I can't say that on YouTube.
Well, I, you know, okay, and I'm saying this in ignorance of what the specific law says. You know, I don't know if the law only immunizes the big pharmaceutical companies from a lawsuit or if it extends to everyone in the middle, but product liability suits generally can hit all the middle people as well. So, I mean, you know, the hospital or the clinic that gave you this defective vaccine, you know, potentially could be sued.
Or the
China.
China?
Or, mm-hmm. China.
Yeah.
Or even more so than that, employers. Because even though they're responding to a federal order to do this, I think we learned at the Nuremberg trials that, you know, just following orders, it doesn't quite cut it, does it?
Well, you know, yeah, I thought about that too.
That was the Nazis. They're never going to apply it against themselves.
But my thought is that, you know, the government is kind of trying to find a way, an out for itself here. So their response will essentially be, hey, we didn't force anybody to comply with anything. It was the businesses who wanted it. They wanted to force the vaccines, so we gave them a way to do it. It's their fault.
So you're saying it's a struggle love, right?
Yeah. Oh, come on. We know the left in this country does not like big business except when it suits their purposes. And being a scapegoat would be a great purpose. Who doesn't love a scapegoat?
But amazingly, big business loves the left.
They just love whoever they think is going to give them the most cheese, right?
That's true. And speaking of cheese and governments, clip number three, which is scavenging at high schools.
All right, here we go.
Now, this is actually something I really didn't think about. And we do have several of those little shipping centers in our fair community. And I expect to find all sorts of water bottles and, again, more underwear over there. So I think it'll be a veritable treasure trove of useless tchotchkes. Fourth, public or private schools. And I'm thinking that the author thinks they're out of session. I'm hoping that's the case. But there might be food there. If you are in during a school year, that, you know, certainly at our local schools, there would be food there.
Lockers, middle school and high school, probably find food there. And also no small amount of weed.
And all the yellow number two pencils you could eat.
Applesauce.
Apples and the pink stuff they throw in vomit.
And milk. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that stuff smelled so bad. It's worse than the vomit.
Well, here's the reason I would want to avoid schools. I would not want to spend the rest of the apocalypse in detention.
I mean, you're probably just destined for that anyway.
Probably so. I guess it's my turn for a prediction.
Well, and that whole podcast, as I recall, was largely about underwear and applesauce. For some reason.
Well, it sounds like a song from the 60s.
I was just going to say that.
Underwear and applesauce. Well, you can't sing underwear and applesauce, can you? Underwear. And I shouldn't be singing anyway. I'll stop. My first prediction up is coming very quickly. And the big event for the Supreme Court will be reviewing Joe Biden's federal mandates for jabbing people so that they can keep their jobs. Now, my prediction is this. The Supreme Court, which I'm going to remind everyone, is just the regular court, but with sour cream and tomatoes.
That makes it more delicious.
We'll vote to uphold the mandate. Here's why. All of the leftist Supreme Court members, plus John Roberts, are all in favor of mandating. Justice Alina Kagan and Justice Sonia Sotomayor have not had mandates in years and are really aching for them and hope that they're hot. John Roberts approves of mandates on principle because love is love, or at least that's what the NSA tells me to tell. How's the NSA tells me to vote? But I think the surprise swing vote will be Justice Amy Coney Island Barrett Browning, whatever her name is. She will twist her hair and indicate that, you know, with all the lonely nights in the Supreme Court. Well, a justice has needs. Needs, mind you, for a mandate. So.
Shuck it, duck it now.
But no, in a surprise move, Justice Clarence Thomas will assume his final form, which will be much like the Hulk. And he will just throw the mandate approving justices into orbit. So this prediction is kind of a little bit far out there, but it would be more fun than anything that ever happened in my life.
Well, unfortunately, we won't have to wait long because aren't they hearing arguments on that right after the new year, like next week?
Yes, they're hearing those arguments on the 7th. And I imagine that they will have to rule fairly quickly. And all joking aside, I think Amy Coney Island Barrett Brown, Barrett Browning, Justice Amy, is probably going to be the swing vote.
Barrett Browning automatic rifle.
Ooh. Ooh.
That would be an awesome name, though, really, to have, wouldn't it?
Yep.
A great name for a judge. That's like Mountain Dew Camacho.
As long as president for life in front of it. So how do you think these Supremes will rule? I mean, I know it costs an extra, 50 cents to get the Supremes, but what do you think, Mark?
As far as the mandates go, I have absolutely no idea. I mean, I could easily see them throwing out a mandate imposed by OSHA, but maybe they would throw out a federal one, but I know darn well they would uphold any state mandates, which makes me suspect that, since the federal government has had increasing police powers over the last 100 years, I think it's actually probably about 50-50 on whether they would uphold a federal jab mandate, just because they would view that as a general power that's held by the government.
Well, of course, and I kept thinking, I mean, if I were a Supreme Court justice, which I never will be.
So you could wear a big black muumuu, which would be great. Be very comfortable.
No, that's a beautiful thing. Apparently they can wear, just whatever the heck they want. I would wear kind of a Viking helmet and maybe carry a very large hammer for a gavel.
And, and for when you walk in and out, you have kind of have the little suit pant gaiters, so they just only go up to your knees.
Or no, my judicial robe only goes just right below my nipple height. Why not?
It's a crop top judicial robe.
Oh, geez. So Congress has had plenty of times to pass a law. If the sense of Congress was that we wanted to do something like that, they've had plenty of time to pass a law that could have become a mandate. But for, again, the power that's vested in the chief executive is just a little bit too much.
True international effort to pressure.
Yeah, and as our esteemed leader in chief said just this past week, this does not have a federal government solution or something to that effect. And I was kind of thinking about that, and I thought, again, like with the vax-related lawsuits, I think it's the federal government washing their hands of this. And I think it's a sneaky backdoor way to get the vaccines approved, because I think they're going to bump this back to the states, because I think they're anticipating the Supreme Court's going to say no. And I think by doing this, they can do what they always do and hold some sort of federal money over the heads of the states and say, okay, it's up to you, but if you don't implement vaccine mandates in your state, then what the feds are going to do is just withhold all the money you'd be getting from HHS. Maybe we'll,
This is actually perfect timing for clip number 4, government COVID overreach.
I think one of the biggest tragedies we're probably going to see come out of this is that the government's reaction has been so over the top relative to the actual risk that, we've seen governments, and hopefully you won't have to bleep this, but we've seen governments blow their wad, literally, on this. There is nothing left.
Well, yeah.
If we get hit with some other major disaster or upheaval or something, there's no resources to fall back on. They've burned people's trust as well. I mean, you know, Fauci may think that it's funny to, you know, that, oh, yeah, I lied to the public multiple times, but, you know, the public doesn't.
So I don't know if you can hear this. You know, it's just because I'm wearing the headphones that I know it's there. But I can very clearly hear Pugsley in the background of that clip coughing up a lung.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I could hear that, too.
Yep.
Is it appropriate? It's appropriate for COVID.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So that worked perfectly. And one thing I didn't notice, and I should have been paying attention to, is that was from April 3rd, 2021. So, you know, it's like we've been treading water for the last, 2 years.
Well, you know, I heard someone speaking about this the other day about this COVID depression going on. And it's this constant cycle of not knowing what's coming. And it's really taking a toll on people's mental health because you can't plan for anything. If you do plan for something, it's probably going to get canceled or moved or something, or you're going to have a vaccine that you don't have or something along those lines. And it's literally driving people crazy.
Scary times we're living in. But now that brings up, Mark, do you have a second prediction?
Hey, you know, we do have two commercials.
Yes. Well, I'm tarting it all out.
Okay. All right. Didn't want you to forget.
Nope.
A second prediction.
Yes.
I'm going to predict that this COVID craziness is going to lead to massive social unrest in those Caribbean and Central American countries that depend heavily on tourism.
Okay. Keep going.
Well, I mean, you know, some of those small island nations, I mean, that is pretty much their whole economy is tourism, and it's dead. It's been dead for 2 years. It's going to continue to be dead. We're going to see, I guess if you want me to continue on, I'm going to say that we may see a major, and I'm not predicting which one, but I would not be surprised to see even a major hotel chain go under.
That's pretty big. The Mrs., what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's entirely possible. I mean, it kind of goes into what my second projection for the year is. Can I throw it in here?
No, you have to wait till after.
Okay.
Unless it's really closely related.
It is pretty closely related, because here's what I think, right? So we've had this massive social disruption going on, and it's been brewing for a long time, especially between the blue cities and the red rural areas in the country. And the blue cities always say, well, go ahead. Why don't you just leave the union, and then, you know, you won't have any internet or anything. To which the red states, of course, reply, enjoy eating those semiconductors, because you don't grow the food in the big cities. And so I think what will happen is that the blue cities will finally push the red states far enough that they finally push back and they stop producing food for the cities. And on day two, we see massive cannibalism.
Massive cannibalism.
Just like Al Sharpton when he went on his hungry strike.
Sure am.
Back when we were newly married, Al Sharpton went on a hunger strike, and
all he was having like several fruit smoothies a day,
and
like maybe a little pasta or something,
and some soup and some bread.
You're not really on a hungry strike. You're on a hungry strike. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
How many of his interns disappeared during that time? That's
massive cannibalism.
But then the next major event that kind of influenced this train of thought was Hurricane Katrina. You know, we were living up in Alaska when Hurricane Katrina happened. And so, you know, it was a beautiful day. Snow was on the ground. And we're listening to CNN talking about, people are actually eating each other. And it's been like 12 hours since the hurricane. And I'm going, really? 12 hours?
And people are getting rid of cannibalism. It's like the end of a bad horror movie. Well, if you're stuck here for 12 hours, going to have to kill you and eat you.
Massive cannibalism.
But both of these actually talk to the economic and social dislocation that has come from the, I'll steal this from the critical drinker, virus of unspecified national origin. And when we look at the upheaval that's coming from that, it is absolutely tremendous. It is overturning rights. I mean, Australians are in concentration camps. If I would have told you this 3 years ago that Australians would be in concentration camps in, 900 days from now, you'd have gone, no, you're kidding. But it has happened that quickly.
And that they would chase people down who have exhibited no symptoms, are not sick, chase them down, massive checkpoints, looking through cars, underneath cars, hunting them down at gunpoint. What the hell's going on?
I just want to say, Australia's created these concentration camps, so to speak, but the reality is a lot of these cities with their lockdowns and stuff that we've seen all over the world have essentially turned whole cities into concentration camps, or to use the term that was used in World War II, ghettos, for locking people up. Just amazing.
And it really is.
Coronavirus, and
I'm going to jump on here with my prediction here, is the horrors that you're going to see in the next 2 years are going to make those first 2 years just seem mellow.
And the clap of my hands keeps alerting the guards.
What's that from?
I have no idea. The internet.
The internet. It's a wide place. But no, I think we're going to see. I think you're both right. I think we're going to see much, much more than we have in the past. And in fact, that's perfect for clip number 5, which is from September 1st, 2021. Social cohesion.
Because the next thing is the loss of social cohesion. Loss of social cohesion and increased polarity. We are seeing that again and again. Between 1990 and 2017, you can see that the right more or less stayed in the same place. The left moved far to the left.
Well, the right moved to the left too.
No. This particular Pew survey, the right kind of stayed in the same place and maybe moved a little bit actually to the right. But the left moved far, far to the left. We have increased polarity. But there's also social cohesion. You look at the number of people not going to church anymore. You look at the number of people who are members of a community only because they live there and they'll be there a year or two and then they're off to the next place. The nameless, faceless suburbs.
And I think a lot of it is the loss of faith in our institutions. You mentioned religion. That's a biggie.
Absolutely.
I mean, what institutions do we actually look up to and trust anymore? I would have said prior to 2020 that, our government agencies that, like the CDC, the NIH, that probably a lot of people trusted those. But now, and not to bring this back to COVID, but I think I've said to you many times, and we've talked about this just in private, how many times do you get to lie to me before I stop listening?
I've lied to you so many times. Oh, wait.
Unfortunately, I know I'm going to sound like a broken record. The social cohesion issue is also one of immigration. Robert Putnam, when he did his research that ended up eventually going into his book, Bowling Alone, noted that the more diversity that you saw in a community, the less social cohesion and social capital was in that community.
I thought diversity was our strength.
Yeah, no, diversity is like a hidden crack in a support column or,
You're telling me all those bumper stickers are wrong?
Yeah, they are. They're completely wrong. They're just leftists. Just all they care about is feeling good about themselves and showing other people that they're better than them.
Sorry, you know, the wrong outro on that.
That's fine. I showed you the picture, and if you want me to, I can send it, and you could put it in the YouTube. But someone ordered a vaccine card holder. I showed you that yesterday, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was light blue, and it said, "I'm good, such a good, so very good, good person." That's what their vaccine card holder. I mean, that tells you everything about their state of mind. They are this creature who is signaling their virtue and wants to signal it as far as possible. I mean, people have tattoos of the date and type of vaccination they got, which is relative of insanity. But Quizzer is actually on the live chat and mentions that he has a prediction. And right. by September, a vax center will be violently raided by those who have received their seventh. They'll be so addicted, they'll be demanding an eighth, the ninth shot. Ta-da!
You know, it's entirely possible. I think we're getting to this point. So, you know, I like to haunt leftist forums, particularly the COVID forums, right? And, you know, it's like we live in two different worlds.
Yes, in our world, you spell predictions, predictions.
We're back to that, are we?
We never left.
I know. You've never committed a typo. Never been a typo ever been caught on your blog in the history of blogging.
And you never let me live it down either, do you?
Well, I won't now.
Keep going. Keep going. I didn't mean to interrupt. It was the perfect time for Jeff. Keep going.
Oh, no, but I was just saying, it's like we live in two different worlds. It's like part of the world lives in a place where they're huddled in their houses, afraid to go out, afraid that, you know, you're going to get sick, and, you know, you're subjected to all of these lockdowns, all these rules, all these regulations. I can't go out to eat without a vaccine card. I can't take with my kids with me because they don't have vaccine cards. And here where we live in Mayberry, I mean, things since June of 2020 have been pretty much more or less back to normal.
Yeah. And, you know, and the weird thing is when we see something that isn't. And I'll bring up again, we took a trip to watch Pugsley in one of the sporting events, and we saw, we interacted with people in the biggest leftist city in our state.
It was a big college town and a big lefty college town.
Yeah. And so we went into a restaurant and, you know, right off, there's a sign in the window that says, in order to come in, you have to wear a mask.
But they didn't really mean it. But they didn't really mean it.
Well, they did. I don't know. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. But I looked in the line in front of us was somebody who wasn't wearing a mask. And since that person was also a visible minority, I thought, oh, well, we don't need masks either.
Oh, so I actually heard a clip from some, I don't remember who it was. It was an MSNBC host who said, talking about, you know, I have a whole bunch of N95 masks. I wear them all the time everywhere I go, except when I'm sitting down. Literally, I don't wear them when I'm sitting down because you're safe. Coronavirus fly right over your head.
Yes. If your body's making any sort of perpendicular shape, you're safe.
You're fine.
Mark, your thoughts? You've been awfully quiet.
I wish I had a good COVID story to tell, but, you know, this is Idaho and there are COVID fanatics here, but the governments have pretty much been slapped down by the legislature, local governments. So we don't have any restrictions right now as far as like masks and so forth. It's all suggestions, but nobody's enforcing it or doing anything.
There you go.
Well, and the latest from the CDC, you know, about changing the quarantine time from 10 days to what are we down to, 5 now?
Yes.
Because they're admitting that part of the problem with this and part of the reason they made that change is because people are to the point where they're point to the point of refusal. They're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you know, honestly, that's the way out of this, is that when all of us decide to stop doing it, I mean, they can't arrest 360 million of us, can they?
Well, it won't be 360 million. It'll only be 80 million or so.
There will be the Fauci army.
Well, and I'm going to bring out what I read to you earlier when before the show started. It was a picture of Glinda the Good Witch. It was a meme, mm-hmm. and she was saying, "If you only stop testing, it'll just become the cold like it was before."
Well, there was a piece in the Journal today, it might have been yesterday, about the NFL and about how, you know, the NFL wouldn't be in the position where they are if they'd stopped taking healthy athletes and testing them for the super deadly virus. The only way you know you have it is if you test for it. Because most of the people who get quarantined in the NFL, which is why they've canceled so many games this week, is because they've had people who have showed no symptoms but are positive.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Absolutely. All right. And bring that up. Ready for commercial number one. The Social Security Administration.
At the United States Social Security Administration, we know that you have a lot to think about when it comes to retirement, and a lot of choices to make before you get there. It's difficult, and wading through the regulations about Social Security can be a nightmare.
That's why we at the Social Security Administration are suggesting that you take up any number of hobbies or habits in the new year.
You could lick doorknobs in a Calcutta ghetto.
You could take up smoking.
Skydiving sounds fun.
You could have incriminating information about Hillary Clinton, or just claim that you do.
Take an Ebola and cannibalism tour of the Congo.
Take a stroll in downtown Portland by yourself, at night, wearing an American flag shirt.
Cross a mob boss.
No matter what you do, make sure that it's thrilling and exciting and dangerous.
Why? We're out of cash. Every bad decision you make is more money left over for payroll.
Remember the motto of the Social Security Administration. We pay at 65, but only if you're alive.
Accidents happen all the time. Know what I'm saying?
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense. That means you, peasant.
Good times.
The government always with our best interests at heart.
Okay, so now I'm going to, I believe it's Mark's turn again. I think.
Again? Already?
because we did like a 3-in-1 prediction because I was making, you were making a prediction, then the missus jumped in and says, well, I've got one there. And then I jumped in with mine, and then Quizzer jumps in. So the degree of difficulty on this one is no corona, no COVID related. Let's keep that out of this particular prediction for the next, I don't know, rest of the show.
Forever.
Oh, God. I wish. I just wish.
All right. So prediction number three is I eat lots of popcorn this coming year as I watch major industries collapse in China.
Ooh. You're thinking that there's some collapsing going to happen. Right? Oh,
okay. Their real estate bubble is popped. It's going to go down.
But who does that hurt, really?
It hurts the average Chinese person that foolishly spent all their money to invest in an apartment building that doesn't even have plumbing.
Okay, let's keep going on there. So they've invested and they have this worthless apartment, but it really hurts the banks. And since the Chinese can create their own money, again, what's the net hurt on that outside of the bubble popping of the construction bubble popping?
Well, that's the thing. The construction bubble, like other Asian countries, China uses construction as sort of a way to artificially keep down unemployment. And so if you have a construction bubble, then you'll see the employment shoot way up. And I think that China will discover that it probably was a good investment to put so much money, so much of their defense budget into suppressing dissent and insurrections within the country. I think we'll see by the end of 2022 a lot of the Chinese government, let me put it, the Chinese government is going to become less and less popular, because I think they're just going to be facing a whole slew of economic problems, and it's all going to come back to this real estate financial bubble.
Now bear with me. Why couldn't they take that same labor, since they live in a much more of a command economy than we do? Why couldn't they take that same labor in those same companies and just focus them around construction of infrastructure?
Well, I mean, that's what they've been doing.
There's more railways they can create more ports, or even creating military hardware.
Well, they've already hit all of the low hanging fruit long ago. I mean, the railroads, high speed railroads and stuff that they've been constructing over the last decade are essentially railroads to nowhere. It's been extremely wasteful. The quality construction is really poor. Yes, they could, if they wanted to, expend money and labor on improving their local roads or the roads in more sparsely populated areas. But I think what you're going to see is their economy is going to get sluggish. The velocity of money is going to decline, and they very well, they're going to see a serious recession, and maybe worse. Now, how long this takes to develop, I don't know. If you remember back to when this very same thing happened to Japan in the late 80s, the bubble started to pop pretty quickly, at least for Tokyo land prices. But it was several years to see it fully start develop and create what people describe now as a zombie economy in Japan. Well, China's is going to be worse.
Okay. The missus, what say you?
I'm sorry, what was that?
You were dreaming about what balsa would taste like, weren't you? All right.
No offense there, Mark. No, that is nothing personal against you. I know nothing about construction in China.
Inquisitor notes, the U.S. could import them to build high-speed railroads in our country. It worked once before.
Hey, why not? We need plenty of railroads that go to nowhere here, right? We can use a few of those.
Right. All right. I believe it's time for commercial. Come on, man.
Who has the smell that he can really tell?
Come on, man.
Who has the style he can't remember for a while?
Come on, man.
Whether it's hiding in the basement.
Come on, man.
Or forgetting to wear his Depends.
Come on, man.
Come on, man is the scent for a politician on the go.
Come on, man.
Or a politician who forgets he had to go.
Come on, man.
Designed to obscure that old man politician smell that only decades of corruption and dementia can create.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Come on, man is the scent. Whether you're strong-arming Ukrainians for political favors.
Come on, man.
or getting your cocaine-addicted son out of rehab so he can make millions on a job that he's utterly unqualified for.
Come on, man.
Come on, man is perfect. It's the scent that can cover almost any suggestion of fraud.
Come on, man is not certified by the FDA to cure any disease or to make an older male politician attractive to younger women. Come on, man does promise that if you are a sitting senator, your wife can get a mail-in degree and be called doctor.
All right, good times. Good times. All right, the missus, what's your last prediction of the year?
And this literally is my last, even though we were supposed to come up with five. This is my third projection, which is the missus will be continually underprepared for podcasts. I think that's a
strangely statement. That's pretty close to mine. That's funny.
I can see the future.
Also going good. Oh, Mark, do you have a closing prediction?
A closing prediction. Jeez.
How about?
No pressure, Mark.
Oh well, how about Russia and China? What do you think is going to happen with Russia? Do you think they're going into the Ukraine? Do you think the Chinese are going into Taiwan? You think that the Federal Reserve is going to continue on their cocaine and attractive hooker binge?
Massive cannibalism.
I can't, at least for this coming year, I can't see China trying to do anything with Taiwan. I think, you know, I don't think they're ready to invade Taiwan. I mean, crappy as the military is in Taiwan, there are competent militaries that are willing to step in and assist Taiwan. So no, I don't see the Chinese doing anything on that. Russia, they don't really want the Ukraine. They just want the Ukraine to turn on the water again.
Turn on the water.
Oh yeah, they most of the water for irrigation and so forth had come through a canal that was built from I can't think of the river, but anyway, the major river there that runs through Ukraine.
There's the Don, and then the Volga is further east.
I don't remember which one, but there's a canal that runs from that river into the Crimean Peninsula, and it provided a lot of the water, because otherwise that area is actually fairly arid. And years ago, when this all sort of first started, the Ukrainians cut off the water coming through that canal, and you know, combined with some recent droughts, it's really impacted the Ukraine. So, you know, what we're looking at is, I mean, there's a lot more going on than just, you know, Ukraine wanting to join NATO and Russia not wanting them to. I mean, there's a lot of little things like this, and Ukraine's been poking the bear for so long. You know, I could see Russia doing something mean to Ukraine, maybe not an outright invasion, but you know, they might have more of those little green men pop up.
Excellent. And I guess my thoughts on the that whole situation is that China is going to send Taiwan a breakup letter and say, it's not you, it's me, and I'm sure you can find some other hegemony to take over for you. So, or maybe Biden will send that letter out. Who can say? But what I do know is that it's been almost 50 some minutes worth of podcast excellence. So it's probably time to sign off. So join us again next week, where we will have lots of hijinks, probably just as great as this one. And as always, I'm John.
This is Mark.
And I'm the Mrs.
And the music bed goes forever.
Because you're all, yeah. You have to have more ready to say.
I know. I have to talk to the post.
All right. Adios. Adios.
Y'all come back now.
You're shutting down.